Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 720, is Durdhara, which means the hard-to-get God. Sometimes that hard-to-get is used for beautiful young women. Some beautiful young woman maybe say hard-to-get. Means she doesn't make herself very easily available. Krishna is far more desirable than even the most beautiful of women. Krishna is hard to get. Dhara means to hold or to support. And dur is used in the sense of dukkha. It's a similar root, means difficulty. So difficult to hold, difficult to get, difficult to capture. With much difficulty or trouble, Krishna can be had. So it means one who can be held in the mind with great difficulty, or another meaning, who is difficult to control and to be held down. Especially, we remember in this Kartik month, I'm speaking in the month of Kartik, that Mother Yashoda, with great difficulty, she caught Krishna, who was running away because of Krishna's being very naughty, who's going to be punished by Mother Yashoda. So it's very difficult. With great difficulty, she caught him, and then only with great difficulty was she able to tie him up. Commentator who is, I'm giving his meaning in every one of these names, Sri Parashara Bhatta, he takes the second meaning. He interprets the name in this way. But first I'm going to go to the interpretation, the understanding, who is hard to get, hard to hold. Most of the other interpreters use this meaning, including Sri Shankaracharya, he gives the meaning that it's very difficult to be held in the mind unless the mind is very much trained. And a Vaishnav commentator, Satyadeva Vashishta, he gives a similar meaning, one who can be realized only with great difficulty. Of course, the basic understanding of who Vishnu is very different between the followers of Shankaracharya and the Vaishnavas. But they both give this understanding. Very difficult to get, very difficult to hold. Satyadeva Vashishta gives the meaning, can only with great difficulty be held in the mind, except for those who have a very collected and composed, focused mind. He's beyond the grasp of anyone except those who, with intense concentration over many births, try to hold him in their minds. In this regard, Sri Shankaracharya, invokes the word dharana, dharana. So durdhara, dharana, means to hold in the mind. It's one of the angas of yoga. The Ashtanga yoga system means to hold a concept in the mind. So dharana comes just before samadhi in the yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dhyana, dharana, samadhi. So after going through so many stages, one can actually, the meditation becomes steady and one is able to hold a lot in the mind, and then only samadhi is possible by this system. In this regard, Shankaracharya of all people quotes the Bhagavad Gita Klesho digataraste sham avyakta sakta cheta sam avyakto hi gatir durkam dehavad bhirava pyate. Lord Krishna speaks this verse in reply to Arjuna's question, which is the best kind of meditation, on the impersonal or on the unmanifest aspect or the personal aspect. Is this section of the Gita very strongly establishes, very clearly establishes, that personal meditation upon Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is better in all respects than the impersonal kind of meditation which Shankaracharya promotes.
Similarly, we have in the prayers of the personified Vedas praying to Krishna, members of the renounced order who fail to uproot the last traces of material desire in their hearts remain impure, and thus you do not allow them to understand you. Although you are present within their hearts, for them you are like a jewel worn around the neck of a man who has totally forgotten it is there. Oh, sounds very ominous, doesn't it? Even if someone renounces the world, they can't get Krishna unless their heart is completely devoid of any desire. Formally, someone can take sannyas. It's not meant to be, the sannyas or is not meant to be awarded unless it's seen that the person is actually able to control his senses. Of course, even after taking sannyas, one may not do so, but appears to be doing well and appears to be able to maintain that vow. But even then, if the heart is not completely purified, one cannot get Krishna. Kam, lobh, krodh, moha, madadi, abhishta, e shabna chere, kishe pabe radha Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur states very practically, matter-of-factly, that as long as all these contaminations are within the heart, then how on earth are we going to get Radha and Krishna? It is not possible. We've heard Srila Prabhupada say that even if you have the slightest material desire, you can't attain Krishna. In this regard, especially because we're talking about even devotees, but especially for the, as we're discussing Shankaracharya's interpretation of this name, we can quote here from Sri Brahma Sanghita, Pantastu koti shata vatsara sampragamyo vayor atapi manaso muni pongavanam sopyasti prapadasimya vinchintya tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami sopyasti yat prapadasimya vinchintya tatve Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Here's a translation of this verse by Srila Prabhupada from Bhagavatam 6 Canto, Chapter 4, Text 23, Purport. The conditioned souls may try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many billions of years. Not many try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manushanam Sahasreshu Kaschid yatati siddhiye. Not many try. Yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mang veti tatvatan. Of those who try and actually succeed to some level in being successful in spiritual life, very few actually understand Krishna. So getting back to reading this purport, the conditioned souls may try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many billions of years through their mental speculative processes, traveling at the speed of the mind or the wind. But still the absolute truth will remain inconceivable to them, because a materialistic person cannot measure the length and breadth of the Supreme Personalities of Godhead's unlimited existence. If the absolute truth is beyond measurement, one may ask, how can one realize him? It's a very valid question, isn't it? Aprameya, one of the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this Vishnu Sahasranam, is one who is not measurable, but by our senses, we can understand things that are within measurement. We can't understand things that we can't see to an unlimited distance. We can't hear an unlimited range of sounds. We can't touch an unlimited number of things. And Krishna's immeasurable. How can we, with our very limited intelligence and sensual capacity, realize him? Well, the obvious answer is by the process of pure devotional service. That will come up in the next name, the discussion of this, how Krishna is aparajita. That's the next name in Vishnu Sahasranam. He's not conquerable by others, but then naturally the discussion comes up that he is conquered by pure devotion. But it's not, again, in devotional service, there's no mechanical process, there's no specific formula to get him. Now, there is a specific formula. I'm contradicting myself, yes. The formulas are given, but it's not simply by following the formulas that Krishna is obliged to make himself available to us. As far as mechanically following procedures, I'll just relate a story that was narrated to me of how one devotee had read the following as the Phalashruti, the promised reward of reciting the Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj. This is a prayer of Lord Shiva, which he told this to his wife Parvati. So this is the Radha Kripa Kataksha Stavaraj. It means the king of prayers. It's a prayer for getting the merciful glance of Srimati Radharani. Now, the Phalashruti at this states as follows. That sadhaka who recites this stava 100 times while standing in the waters of Sri Radha Kunda, up to his thighs, navel, chest, or neck, will attain complete perfection in the 5 goals of human existence, namely dharma, artha, kama, moksha, and prema. He will also attain the power by which everything he says will come true. He becomes very powerful and opulent due to attaining transcendental majesty, and he gets to meet Sri Radhika face to face, seeing her even with his present eyes. So forget all that stuff about dharma, artha, kama, moksha, becoming very powerful and opulent. We want to see Radha, isn't it? That should be the real aim. And then he goes on to say that by such chanting of this prayer in Radha Kunda as directed, Sri Radhika becomes so pleased that she instantly bestows a great benediction on the devotee, which is that he sees her beloved Shyamasunda with his very own eyes. Then that Lord of Vrindavan grants the devotee entrance into his eternal pastimes. Okay, let's all go to Radha Kunda and do it. Get the merciful glance of Radha by reciting this 100 times standing in Radha Kunda, and then we'll get Radha's mercy and we'll get Shyamasunda's mercy. Let's go and do it. Well, one devotee from Europe, he did this. He recited it 100 times, the whole prayer, and then got out, and then he noticed, oh, I recited the whole prayer, but there was one page of the printout missing. Oh, so he didn't, and I don't know, but you might think, well, he could go back and do it again. I didn't hear that he did that. But maybe he got the point that it's not simply by mechanically doing so. If we're praying for the mercy of Radha, praying for her merciful glance, it means to really pray. It's not just a matter of reciting it. It doesn't work like that. If one really prays for her mercy, then she may be inclined to give her mercy. It's not that we can control or capture Radha and Krishna simply by following some procedures. By pure devotional service. In this regard, another well-known verse from Brahma Sanghita, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Ananta Rupam Adyang Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Videshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktau Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning. Although expanded into unlimited forms, he is still the same original, the oldest, and the person always appearing as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are usually not understood, even by the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. Now, in the other verse I just quoted from Brahma Sanghita, the term came up, avichintya tattva. That means even if one thinks or speculates very expertly, using so much intelligence, still the Lord is not accessible. One reason we can deduce from this verse that he is advaitam, he is one, but he is anantarupam, he has many forms. If he's one, we should think that how can there be many forms? If he is the original, oldest person, how can he be a fresh, blooming youth? How can these contradictions be understood? Well, simply by reading the Vedas, not possible to understand. The Vedas are understood through the commentaries of the Acharyas. Shankara, he attempts to harmonize these contradictions by saying that, well, all that stuff about duality, that's not really right at all. But devotees understand that, yes, all the words of the Vedas are true. The Supreme Lord is one, and he is many also. So Krishna cannot be understood simply by the cerebral, noetic method, but he makes himself available easily, adurlabham, to the unalloyed devotees, atma-bhakta, those who worship Krishna with their whole being, with their very being. So what's going on here? What's the difference? Why is it that simply by intelligence one cannot understand the Supreme Lord? Why is he durdhara, difficult to get for the non-devotees, but easy to get for the devotees? So we have this name durdhara. He's not durdhara, he's not hard to get for everyone. He is relatively easy to get for the devotees. Why is that? Well, there are various problems with the aroha panta, the endeavor to rise up, to raise oneself up to the spiritual platform by one's own efforts only. Effort has to be there, but if one thinks by my own strength, by my own intelligence, I will understand God. Or even worse, I will become God. I will realize myself as God. This is vomitable idea, horrible idea. Then what's going on? That even though the persons who are on this path of trying to understand God, or they have the idea of becoming one with God, and they talk a lot about becoming free from ahankar, egoism, but the very endeavor to understand God by one's own endeavor, that itself is egoism. And the idea that I am God, what greater egoism is this? So they're very proud, and by pride Krishna, you can't understand Krishna because he doesn't let you. He's Duradhara. You can go up. You can go up in spiritual life by this method, but only to a certain level. That is stated by the demigods. The yenya ravindaksha vimuktamaninas tvayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhaha aruhya. See that word? Aroha panti. Aruhya. Kritrena parang padang tata patantyato narita yushmadangraya. Others who are not pure devotees, the demigods say, they by their own efforts, they can go up, and they can become purified. It's not that you can't go up at all. You can make progress in spiritual life, at least seemingly. And you can think that you're fully purified, but you're not, because you neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet. So even you can go up to the spiritual platform. Yeah, you can merge into the oneness and so on. All that. You can do that and think that I'm on the highest platform and this and that. But you have to fall down again due to the fault of not worshipping Krishna. Therefore, from the very beginning, we should rather adopt the practice of becoming humble in devotional service, as Lord Brahma recommends. Lord Brahma, he thought he could understand Krishna, but when he found out that he couldn't understand Krishna, then he prayed to Krishna, Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiyavartam sthane sita shutigatam tanuvang manobhya ye prayaso jita jitopya pitaistri lokyam. Ah, just Lord Brahma, he gives this very good advice, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu much appreciated. Just give up all this idea of trying to understand God by one's own mind. Just if you think you can understand everything about Krishna by your own mind, just forget that idea. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to understand his, or to at least some extent, otherwise... If we by the mind, we have to keep Krishna in our mind. Manmana, always think of Krishna. So it's not that the endeavor to understand Krishna is totally rejected, but the thought that I can understand him, I can capture him totally by my own efforts. Just give that up, Lord Brahma says. Just become a little humble. And humility means we should hear from those who have understood Krishna. How have they understood Krishna? By hearing from others about Krishna, about the glories of Krishna, about the pastimes of Krishna. Those who themselves are humble devotees of the Lord can explain to us about him. So very humbly, if we listen to them, we listen to such persons. We don't even have to renounce the world and all this kind of thing. We can conquer Krishna by the endeavor of not endeavoring to conquer him, by the endeavor to simply submit ourselves humbly at his lotus feet and hear about him from realized souls. So humility. Remember that name we just spoke on, Adripta, means he's not proud. The Supreme Lord is not proud. And he's also, he's not understood by the proud. It's admission reserved, all rights reserved. Krishna is all rights reserved. Thus we pray to him. He is Darpaha. That's another name we just read recently. Darpaha, the killer of pride. So we pray to him. Oh, Darpaha, you are hard to get. You are Durdhara. You are hard to get because you are Adripta, not proud, and you don't make yourself available to the proud. So please kill the pride in my heart so that I can actually come to the platform that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended. Chunadapi sunichena tarori vasahishnuna Amanina, Amanadena, Kirtaniya, Sudahari. We could actually come to the platform of being humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to give all respect to others, not wishing respect for ourselves, and in such a state of mind, we can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this humility is required. So we may think that, well, Krishna is very merciful, right? We always heard he's very merciful. All this stuff about becoming completely freed from all material desires and very hard to get. But isn't Krishna very merciful? Yes, Krishna is very merciful, but he is not cheap. He's not cheap. Means it's not that he just makes himself available to everyone willy-nilly. He wants to see that we actually want him. Because if we don't want him and we get admitted to the spiritual world, then we'll cause a disturbance to himself, to all the pure devotees there. Krishna doesn't want his pure devotees disturbed. And we ourselves won't be happy there, because if we have any desire other than to serve Krishna, then theoretically, if we were to enter the spiritual world, then we wouldn't be happy there, because there's nothing else to do there but to serve Krishna. So Krishna is merciful, but he's not cheap. Humility is required. By hearing about how great he is, we should become humble. When we realize how small we are and how great he is, then we should become humble. Therefore, this discussion of Vishnu Sahasranam is very useful for our advancement in spiritual life, because it concentrates a lot on the power and majesty of the Supreme Lord. And by understanding that, we should become humble, which is a requisite to go up in devotional service. We may think, well, I don't want to hear about the power and majesty, I just want to hear about the sweetness. But we can't enter that sweetness as long as we have any pride in our hearts. Now, every Vaishnava, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized this so much, every Vaishnava should know that we have to become humble. Now, I have seen, especially when I was in Bangladesh, what appears to be a show of humility. Because it's known among Vaishnavas that you're meant to be humble, then often I used to see what are called exaggerated shows of humility. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also talked about this, the sahajya Vaishnavas who make an exaggerated show of humility. But a show of humility won't work. Now, another name that we just discussed was Bhutavas, the Lord who is in everyone's heart. So he knows what's in our heart. And Krishna, he does very kindly make arrangements by which our pride should be removed, even in the non-devotees. A non-devotee may think, I'm doing so well, I'm very great, I'm very strong, I can do what I like. Or even he may not be very demoniac, but he may be even a very pious person who thinks, well, I'm a king, I'm protecting others, or even not even such a great person as a king, just an ordinary family man, I'm protecting my family, I'm looking after them very nicely, I am doing this, I am doing that, but we are not independent. We may think I'm looking after others very well, and then circumstances may change. We become poverty-stricken or old age. When someone is helping others, maintaining them, has a strong body, can work very hard, and then in old age, you can't move from one place to another without help, without using a stick or without someone helping him, or has to be pushed around in a wheelchair. Krishna is very kind in removing our pride. Hare Krishna. I'll stop there, and Krishna willing, I'll continue discussing this very important name, Duradhara, the hard-to-get God, in another session. Thank you for listening. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nitaya chunakam padayani patya kritva chakaku shatameta raham ravimi he sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kurutanuraga.